this session, I have with me Woody Robertson, and Woody Robertson is one of the co-founders of College Plus, and College Plus has kind of swept the nation with some of their ideas about college and how to do it in a way that's more in line with the homeschool methodology. We're talking about mentorship, and when I think about mentorship, Woody is one of the main guys that comes to mind as somebody that, as a homeschool graduate, took the initiative to get mentors in his life, and you've gone around the nation talking about mentorship. So, Woody, thanks for talking with me about this.
This is one of those topics I can't stop talking about, because as I look back on my life, this is where I got breakthroughs as far as development, vision, perspective on life. Mm-hmm. This was through mentoring. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's like back up to 16, 17. How did you...
I was still sucking my thumb. Okay. Back then.
And a few suckers. Yeah. So you didn't even really probably know what mentorship was. So how did you get on this mentorship trip?
That's exactly my story. I hadn't heard the term before.
Okay.
I hadn't read any of the books that I've now read or, you know, talked or listened to the sessions about it. Mm-hmm. But it was a story where I realized that I wanted to be somebody when I grew up. I wanted to mature and grow up. And I realized that I wasn't an expert. And in my family, we read a lot of the Proverbs. And mm-hmm. one of those Proverbs says, "He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall die."
Mm-hmm.
My dad would always emphasize, "shall die." I was like, okay, we're not hanging out with fools. No fools. So this started out in my church, where at a young age, 16, 17 years old, I started to see individuals in the church that were experts at subject material and knew their topics and really were success stories in their fields, whether it was their careers or the way they handled their family. And I just started asking them questions. And so I can say that my first interactions with mentors was pretty shallow. It was pretty light. It happened basically just at church, coming mm-hmm. up asking them questions, mm-hmm. you know. And they knew me typically, you know, they knew my name because we went to mm-hmm. church there. And so I'd say, "Hi, Mr. So-and-so, how was your week? Tell me about the greatest thing that happened in your week this mm-hmm. week." And of course, people love to talk about themselves, right? Whenever they're talking about themselves, they can't stop talking. Mm-hmm. So I just learned from them, and I just, you know, listen and nod and tried to be engaged. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a step where we moved to the next level, and that was basically where, for the serious people that I really wanted to learn from, I thought, you know, if I could get them alone for a private time, like over breakfast or something like that, I could probably get a lot more information from them. And it was about this time that I became familiar with the course Seeking Out the Solomons by Jeff Myers. And Jeff is really the expert on teaching this subject material. But in this course, Seeking Out the Solomons, Jeff talks about ways that you approach mentors when you want to interact with them, when you want to try to get them as a mentor in your life. So I think back about those first interactions, and honestly, I remember being very nervous, thinking, boy, some of these people are very successful in their business. They're very busy.
Well, they want
people.
To talk to me.
Well, they care about me as a 17, 18-year-old little punk, you mm-hmm. know? Like, so what can I do to be serious? And Jeff talks about asking key questions, especially right up front, to show them your seriousness about the topic.
So what does that look like?
So, okay, my first story. So I knew that I wanted to ask this guy out to breakfast. And why breakfast? Well, because you need to pay for it, and it's the cheapest meal of the day. So I was going
to
be paying for it.
And
I thought,
guy.
How do we do this? Right. I didn't have a lot of money at the time. So breakfast is also a key time because experts, busy people, honestly, mentors in general, people that have information to share, are typically very busy people. They're typically people that are well engaged in life and family and business and church and community. And finding time to meet with them is often a challenge. So I memorized a little speech, and I wrote it out, said it a few times in front of the mirror. I tried to get casual with it, and it basically went something like this.
You memorized it?
I did, because I was so terrified. I thought, they're never going to care about me.
Okay.
And I knew that I needed to be serious about this. They needed to know
what
that
would happen
I was,
if you weren't?
Well, they would say, you know what, there's 1,000 people that want my time, you know, and my job and my life and my kids, my family. Why him and not, you know, somebody else? So I knew I needed to come across serious. And so I really kind of put on a show. I tried mm-hmm. to put my best foot forward. Mm-hmm. And basically that looked like first question. "Hi, my name is so-and-so, and I have been watching you for the past number of years, however long it has been, mm-hmm. and I realize that you are an expert in this area, and I would love to learn from you. Honestly, I'd like to be like you someday. Could I take you out to breakfast next Wednesday at 7 o'clock and ask you some questions?"
Okay.
I've got a series of three questions. Would next Wednesday at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock work for you? What I found was, by actually proposing a time like Wednesday mm-hmm. at 7 o'clock.
Specific.
A specific time that before the mentor knew it, or the future potential mentor knew it, he was actually pulling out his iPhone and looking at his calendar. No, I can't do Wednesday, but I could do Thursday. And you're like, yeah, Thursday works great, you know, because 17, 18 years old, every day works, you know? So we'd meet for that first Thursday time. We agreed to the time. But before I let the guy go in that first interaction, I said, could I email you some questions ahead of time? I've got three questions I'd like to ask, and could I get your email address? So I get their email address, which is a great thing to have.
Right.
You need to file it away and save it. And I think about, what are the most important questions that this guy could really help me with?
So what kind of questions?
So questions like, if you had to live your life over again, what would you do differently? As you're looking back at life, what would you do differently? Time and money aside, where would you be spending your time right now if you had a choice? Another one would be, what are the books, speakers, topics that have been most influential in your life? What magazines do you subscribe to on this topic to get you to expert status? Who do you hang around with? Who are your mentors? So those would be questions. And for the first meeting interaction, typically try to narrow it down to three. So you'd email the questions ahead of time to the mentor, and they'd have a chance to kind of think about it, and they know where you're going in the conversation, and they would know that you're not just going to be sitting there shooting the breeze. I don't know what to ask
you.
Kind of
copied you.
Yeah, you know, like they knew that you're serious, and that's what they want. That's what mentors are looking for.
So you were able to communicate that you were serious up front.
Before they invest
submitting
time.
Those questions.
Exactly,
that's
right.
That's key.
And that's really important because, again, mentors are typically very busy people. Mm-hmm. Now, a couple of words about mentors and choosing the right mentor. Mentors are people that you want to learn from. They're people that you respect. But there's different levels of mentors.
Okay.
And could I take a quick
sidetrack?
And then we'll come back to stories.
Okay.
So in my own life, well, let me introduce this book. It's called Connecting by Paul Stanley.
Okay.
And it says there's three different levels of mentors. There's the passive mentor, which is basically somebody that you just learn from a distance. You never actually meet them. You never interact with them. But you read their books. You listen to their podcasts. You read their blogs. You're connected with them, but they may not know it. So there's various people that I respect highly that I don't know them individually, but I learn from them. And that would be called a passive mentor.
Okay.
Passive mentors could also be people that are no longer living. They may have passed away. They may be dead. The next level down is an occasional mentor. And this is somebody who offers timely advice in a specific area that knocks it out of the park in that area. So from my own life, I was thinking about various people that knew about public speaking. Public speaking was one of the things I wanted to be good at. And so I found somebody that was really good at public speaking. I said, can I spend some time with you? Can I send you some of my sample speaking opportunities? Would you critique them? And they tell you all kinds of things like what you did wrong and how you can improve. And you know, it's humbling, but it's actually very, very much an instructional opportunity.
So what did you do with that though, that feedback?
So I would take it home, I would think about it, I'd try to apply it. The next time I spoke, I would put those, you know, I'd go into the speaking time the next time and I'd say, I'm gonna apply what that mentor told me to do and I'm gonna see if I can do it.
How important, let me just park on that,
yeah.
How important is it that you actually apply what they're telling you?
Very important, because if you don't, and especially if you don't show them how you're applying it,
so you have to show them.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I would send, in the case of this public speaking, I'd send them a copy of my next session and say, hey, I tried to implement those ideas. How did I do? What did I do well? What did I do? And some of them are like, no, you totally missed it. You should be working on this. So that was an occasional mentor in the area of public speaking. Finance was another one. As a young guy at 16, 17, 18 years old, I was a little
entrepreneur. Too many overdraft charges.
Yeah, man, I was trying to save my money. I wanted to be a wise guy with money, and I thought, you know, how do you invest your money? You know, they say between 20 and 30, if you invest $2,000 a year between those 10 years, you're going to have more money than if you invested from the time you're 30 for the rest of your life. It's compounding interest. So I thought, who's an expert in finance? And so sure enough, there was a guy in my church that I was able to say, Mr. Clark, my name is Woody. I know you're highly successful at your career. I would love to learn from you. Could I take you out to breakfast? I have three questions for you I'd like to ask. And Michael Clark said, yes, I'd love to meet with you. And I'm, you know, you try not to be surprised. And you say, okay, sure. Well, how about next Tuesday at, you know, 7 o'clock or whatever. So we met with Michael Clark. And Mr. Clark, his clients, you have to have $1 million to start with them. And I didn't have anywhere close to $1 million. You know, here I am, 16, 17, 18 years old. I thought, there's just no way. So I said, Mr. Clark, I've only got, you know, a few thousand dollars, but I really want to make multi-million dollar decisions at a young age. Could you give me some advice? And so we met and we talked about that area where he was a complete expert, but an area that I didn't know anything about. That's an occasional mentor.
Okay.
The final level is an intensive discipler mentor. This is somebody that's with you over a longer period of time, is much more engaged with you, is somebody that's looking at your holistic life and not just the specific questions of business or church or community, but all of life, putting it in perspective, giving real meaningful feedback and accountability. These are people that they really ask the hard questions. These are people that drive you. These are people that
so
when
they
you
ask
look
you
at,
questions.
They get to that level.
Okay.
They typically start out as occasional mentors or even passive mentors, and they move up the chain the more you get to know them and
okay.
the more they get to know that you're really serious about life.
So when you pursue them enough, over time, they'll start pursuing you.
That's it. And it's crazy. They'll call you and say, hey, I haven't heard from you for the past week. Are you still alive, man? What's going on? And that's when you know you've got a breakthrough relationship where this is a guy that really cares about you, really wants your best. Hmm. Now, here's a key for the intensive discipler mentors. This is the highest level. You got passive, occasional, intensive disciplers. These are people that you want to respect much more of their life than just their specific area of contact. Content expertise. So the occasional mentors, they may be an expert at public speaking, but you may not respect them as much in their finances or in their community involvement in their church or something. You may just be going to them for specific advice on that particular topic. But these intensive discipler mentors, these are people that you really want to try to model your life after. And if you can't say that about somebody, then you'll want to be careful, because if you're spending this kind of time, if they're giving this kind of investment, then you know you start to learn from them and mimic their ways.
You have to be careful of the influence.
So that's the different levels. Okay. And again, those are from the book Connecting by Paul Stanley.
Okay.
But let's go back to the beginning. So some of these beginning relationships for me started out as passive mentors where I read books, I read articles that they'd written, I listened to things that they spoke on, you know, maybe topics at a conference. But then if you can meet them at a conference, for instance, a conference where you happen to see them in the hallway, you say, hey, I've been learning from your blog the past 3 years. I was really impressed with your blog post on XYZ topic. Can you tell me about what you were thinking and what drove you to write that topic?
Specific question.
That's what it is.
Okay.
That's how you move from a passive to an occasional mentor
okay.
status. So they want to know that you're not just, hey, you're a really cool guy, man.
I saw you up on stage, and I'd like to be on stage,
too. I'd love to be like you someday.
Yeah.
They want to know that you really care about the topics
okay.
and that you can ask engaging questions that get them to talk.
They give you some level of credibility.
Another question you can ask them is, what is keeping you up at night? What are you thinking about? What are you passionate about these days?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be another question that gets you from a passive where you've never interacted with this person directly before. You've only listened to them. You've only read their materials to an occasional mentor level. So Kevin Swanson is one of those people where I listened to his radio program. I read some of the articles he wrote.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to him in conferences, and I thought, man, this is a guy I'd like to be like. You know, just incredible wisdom just exudes from this
mm-hmm.
guy. So I listened to his stuff, and the first time I had a chance to meet him, I was a little nervous, so I kind of practiced what I would say. And I came up to him and I said, Mr. Swanson, my name is Woody Robertson. I am such a big fan of your investment in the lives of homeschoolers and the lives of the next generation, and these are some specific things that stand out to me about your life and about what you're doing. Could I take you out to breakfast sometime and ask you some more questions? And typically people at conferences, they may have some breakfast times available before
mm-hmm.
sessions. They may have some flexibility. And that's how my relationship with Kevin started out. I just asked him and he said, yeah, let's do breakfast. That'd be cool. You know, but you have to kind of memorize, you have to get comfortable with those few things that you
mm-hmm.
say, because those early interactions
okay.
are of huge importance.
So you're at breakfast. Let's walk through this.
Okay.
What does the interaction at breakfast look like?
Yep.
What do you have to do to actually show them that you're serious and to make it happen?
So back to where we started,
yep.
you typically send them three questions ahead of time
right.
that you can talk to. And again, Jeff Myers, he lists out the questions
okay.
you can ask. I mentioned a few earlier, but let's just say one is, you know, if you had to do life over again, what would you do differently?
Mm-hmm.
And you have those major questions, you have three of them, but then you might ask on your paper that you bring into the meeting, you might list a bunch of questions, subpoints
mm-hmm.
under those questions. So you keep the conversation going. So there's never the awkward pause of, what should I say now? Or, you know, it just goes. And, you know,
and you've
mentors,
done all the hard work ahead of time.
Right. You've thought ahead of time about what you want to get out of the interaction,
okay.
And it keeps the conversation going where there's no wasted time for the mentor. Because again, these guys, they want to know that when they're investing in you, you're actually going somewhere. You're going to take the information that you're learning, you're going to do something with it.
Should you set a time limit on the length of the meeting?
Well, so you know, typically,
overstay your welcome.
Yeah, this is it. So you say, can I meet you at 7 o'clock or 6:30 or whatever it is for breakfast? You know, can we meet at this place? Mm-hmm. And you try to find a place that's convenient for them on their way to work or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you ask them first thing when you sit down, Mr. Clark, I know it's 7 o'clock right now. How long do you have? Yeah, I've got all the time in the world, but I want to be respectful of your time. What time do you have? I've got 50 minutes, he might say, or let's spend an hour together. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, sometimes they'll be like, you know, I've got a couple hours. Let's just take whatever time we need. And those are the situations you're like, whoa, bring it on, let's go. So you sit there and you're asking them questions from that list that you've emailed ahead of time. And of course, you got subpoint questions, so the conversation constantly goes. At the end of the interaction, oh, let me say this. When you come into these meetings, you want to dress professionally. Especially guys with guys, and maybe girls with girls would be the same scenario, but if they wear suits, if you happen to know that they do that for their work, then you'll want to dress up and try to wear something that's okay. Close to that. You know, you're going to try to dress the part. So you go in, and I encourage students not to bring pens and not to bring iPhones and iPads to take notes on, but to bring pen and paper. Okay. Because the mentor, again, wants to know that you're serious about this. Technology is so advanced these days where people are constantly on their phones or texting with each other and whatever, and sometimes people don't know if they're really listening or if they're texting their buddy, talking about what they're going to do next, or on Facebook or whatever it might be. So come in with a pen and paper, because then they know that you're really serious about that, and they can actually see when you're taking notes, and they can see this piece of paper full of information by the time you're done. And they're saying, I know this person is serious about the stuff I just shared with them. I know that my investment of time is worth something. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the big discoveries for me about mentors, is that mentors, while very busy, very successful in church, family, business, all these spheres of life, they're people that want to invest in the generations behind them. They realize that they made mistakes, that if they had had people that were asking these kind of questions that you're now asking them, that they could avoid some of the mistakes that they made, and they want to help with that. And that was a breakthrough when I realized that these are people that, while very busy, they really do care. So you'd be sitting there asking them questions, and at the end of the conversation, you know, the 50 minutes or whatever would be up, and you'd say, Mr. Clark, you have been an incredible blessing in my life. I just want to thank you. I've got a page full of notes here, and I'm going to take these things and apply them. Could I schedule a follow-up meeting with you to tell you how it goes? And, you know, if you're engaged with them, if you're leaning forward throughout the conversation, if you're, you know, looking sharp and you're articulate and you're trying to speak, you know, with everything you got, showing them you're serious about it, and you come in with a warm, firm handshake, you know, you're shaking their hand. If you show all those things, they're going to perceive that you're serious about this. And so more than likely, they're going to say, sure, let's meet again. So then you just think about, you know, is this something that I could get some traction on and actually come into next meeting with some progress? How long is it going to take me to come in with that progress? Okay. Is it going to take me a week? Is it going to take me a month? Is it going to take me a year?
So you show up to the next meeting. How important is it that you've actually done something with those notes? And do you want to even show up if you've not done anything?
It depends on the relationship that you have and the questions you asked in the previous conversation. If the questions in the previous conversation were more life-oriented questions, were bigger picture stuff, and they weren't as specific about action points, then you can show up anytime, you know, you can meet with them, you know, the next day and take them out to breakfast again. Not that that would make sense, but maybe the next week or whatever. But if, on the other hand, there's specific homework that you could do to show the mentor that you're really serious about their investment, then you want to try to get progress on that homework and show significant progress before you meet again. And that may take you, you know, a couple days, a couple weeks, a couple months to do. And the next time you interact, again, you want to be showing them that you were serious about the information you learned and you're looking to go to the next level.
So who drives the mentoring relationship?
The mentoree really needs to be the one putting all in at the beginning. Needs to be the one focused with the questions, emailed ahead of time if possible. Sometimes it's not possible, but, you know, the one that has the agenda for the conversation, that keeps it going. It's not like, you know, you don't want those weird pauses where, like, how are you doing today? Did you have a good day? You know, those are kind of simple questions that they're really not deep. They want to get down to the good stuff fast.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about some of your experiences. How does a mentor move from passive to occasional to really life intensive? And where does the relationship transition into more of a back and forth? How long does the mentee have to drive it?
Yeah, The passive to occasional, the passive beginning is you listen to audios, you've read their books, but you've never actually met them. Right. Occasional is you might meet them somewhere, or maybe it's a totally different relationship. It's not that you have to do all these different levels with every mentor. Mm-hmm. You can have an occasional mentor, it's just an expert in one subject area. But let's say you're taking one guy and you want to really get deep with him.
Yeah.
So you go passive to occasional where you ask specific questions. So you're doing these breakfast lunches, breakfast times where you're interacting with them. So you get them there, you're asking questions, and before you know it, after about four or five times of meeting together, they'll start to ask bigger life questions to you. And you'll know that these are people that you want to go to a far deeper relationship with. And by natural course of the conversation, it's going to go there anyway. Okay. So if you're proving to them that you're serious about life, they're going to want to continue to invest more and more time in your life. And by the time you get to the intensive discipler mentor level, I've had two of these in my life, really, maybe three. But these are people that are typically with you for 2, 3, 4 years. I had one that was with me for 8 years. I lived in Chicago for 8 years, and I had a VP of Kraft Food Company, you know, like a highly successful guy that had made his millions, that was retired homeschool dad, whose wife had passed away. And this guy knew everything about business, knew everything about working with people, and had tons of time on his hands. And so all I had to do was fund the dinners, you know, fund the time. It was dinners in this case because he wasn't busy and he needed stuff in the evening. Yeah, he wasn't even up. I mean, he's retired. And, he doesn't have his family's all grown up. His wife had passed away. So in those interactions, these people are with you for a long period of time. And they're people that you can get more casual with and really open up more of the real side of who you are. So you're not trying to put that best foot forward all the time. Sure. You're actually moving to the state of, hey, I'm really struggling with X. You've probably been down this road before. And then this VP of Kraft, his name is John Oles. I said, Mr. Oles, I've really struggled with knowing how to work with people in a business situation. I've got, you know, 20-some people that work in my department. I'm 19 years old, and they're asking me questions that I've never thought through before. What would you say? And of course, this guy's managed hundreds and hundreds of people before, and he's like, this is what I'd say if they asked me that. And by the way, they're probably going to ask you this question next. So I'm writing down, I'm like, oh, say that again. I need to write that down. So I would do it. I'd put it in place, you know, the next week, and I'd come back and say, Mr. Oles, you can't believe it. I did exactly what I said verbatim what you told me to say.
And how much do they like hearing that?
They love it. They're like, yes. I mean, they're they know
their legacy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they know that, you know, this guy was 70-some years old, and he knows that his life, his interaction is making a significant difference in a young guy's life.
So you've really pursued mentorship in a sincere way. What's some of the long-term impact that you've seen in your life?
Mentors give big picture perspective. These are people that have lived 20 to 30 years longer than we have, and honestly, they've just seen more than we have, and they have more perspective to give. So mentors will warn, caution, give advice, give counsel. They will introduce you to people. They will give a perspective on life that you may not see. So as I think about my own mentors, they're people that start out at various levels of relationship and interaction, but they're people that that you want to learn from, you want to emulate, you want to be like. They're people that they've been down this road before you.
Okay, so how do you bring value to them? Because that's the thing.
Oh.
Why would somebody want to spend time with me?
Okay.
And you can show it in different ways, I think, but how did it work for you?
Yeah, so the first thing you do is in those meetings that you're meeting for breakfast or whatever, you're writing their notes down. And if you can have a page full of notes or however much notes you have, that's significant. That says to the mentor, hey, this person's really serious about it. I mean, they're not just on their phone. They're actually writing this stuff down. And so the next time you meet with them, you're going to say, hey, Mr. So-and-so, last time, 2 weeks ago, you talked about these three things. I wanted to let you know what's happened since then. Since over the last 2 weeks, you know, blah, 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 and here's how I applied what you taught me. And you'll typically see them start to say, you know, either, yeah, you got it, or no. But either way, they're going to see that you tried, and that's a significant part. So the first thing is you're taking notes. Second thing is you're showing them what you've done. The third thing is you may start to send them gifts. For me, I like to send books to people, to mentors, people that have invested in my life. I love to send them a book in the mail with a little handwritten note that says, hi, Steve, I've been thinking about you. I've been reading this book, and I thought you just needed a copy of this. Mm-hmm. And thank you for your investment in my life. Mm-hmm. And what it shows them is, hey, you really care about this relationship. And it shows them that you want to provide value to them as well. Sometimes you'll try to introduce them to certain people that you know they want to meet. And that's a real breakthrough. Like, if there's somebody that you've met in your interactions that you know your mentor wants to get to know, and if you can make that connection for them and tell that person, hey, you've got to meet Steve. This guy has blown my life away, his investment in my life. That's huge.
Okay.
So gifts of those kinds. I bought a mentor recently a bunch of car washes. He loves his car. And it was an idea where every time he gets in his car, I want him to be thinking about me and you know, the organization. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted him to know that, hey, I really care about this. So it can depend on what's important to that person, but most importantly, you must show value in the relationship.
I want to ask you this last question. A lot of young people are saying, okay, so I don't even know if I want to be a garbage truck driver, an electrician, or an astronaut. So how do I pick a mentor without knowing that? And it sounds like what you're saying is, hey, it doesn't necessarily matter because they can help direct you and just give you some perspective on life. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so normally you'd seek out a mentor that you think is an expert in an area you want to learn from. So you think you want to be an astronaut, let's say, and you try to find somebody that's in, let's say, aviation, maybe as a starting place, maybe a pilot, and you take them out to breakfast or whatever. So you'll find that you'll be able to ask them questions and determine if that area and what they have to say about it is really a good fit. So they will give some life direction just through that interaction because they're an expert in the subject material. But when you get into the intensive discipler mentors, these are the ones that are with you investing in a significant way. They know you inside and out. They know your strengths, your weaknesses. These are the people you're really real with. They're the people that after some time of interacting with you, they're going to be able to give perspective and say, you know what, I've been watching you for the past couple years. I'm not seeing it. You know, you say you want to do this. I can tell you, I just don't see it. And here's why.
Okay.
And that's important. Mm-hmm. So whether it's a specific content expert that you can ask information from, or this intensive discipler that knows you from the holistic perspective, there, any way you look at it, you're able to better understand what your life purpose is.
That's so helpful. So what's your last word of advice to the 16-year-old who's listening to this?
Word of advice is do it. Start simply. Memorize your little speech, you know, like I did when I was still, you know, 15, 16 years old and was traumatized by the idea of going up to somebody that was a lot older than I was, asking them important topics. But just start, and start by interacting with people older than you in your church. Don't always hang out with your friends, you know, your peers. Hang out with people that are older than you and learn how to engage with them. Learn how to ask them questions. Get over your fear of talking with adults. And before you know it, you'll be asking them out to breakfast. Go in with a specific date in mind and say, can I meet with you Wednesday at 6 o'clock? And, you know, before you know it, they'll have their calendars out. It just kind of happens. But it's okay to be a little nervous, memorize what you're going to say, practice with it, and just get into it. And before you know it, you may find that there's people that just turn into the intensive discipler mentors who are calling you or taking you out to lunch or saying, hey, we got to meet. It's been a long time. So I'm missing you. How you doing? You know, and that's where you really get breakthroughs.
It's inspiring. Thanks, Woody.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.